Well, welcome to Voices of Women. I'm Chris Stainis, your host, and also the founder of Women of Wisdom Foundation. We are celebrating our 30th year for the annual conference, Women of Wisdom Conference. It is March 24th through the 27th, and our theme this year is celebrating our sacred pearls, nourishing the waters of the feminine. It's a great focus for us, and we have lots of experiential workshops, some wonderful panel discussions on topics of interest for women, and two great keynote speakers, internationally known authors, Rhianne Eisler and Cynthia James. So you can read all about it at our website, womenofwisdom.org. And today I have with us Lisa Espinoza. She is returning from last year. We're so glad to have her back. She is a spiritual career coach and the award-winning author of the book, Answering Your Inner Calling. Her forthcoming book is Birthing the Priestess Within, a priestess origin story and a manual for bringing healing to the world. She is the creator and host of the podcast Soul Studio for Your Career. She integrates her training in the internal family systems model of psychotherapy, Reiki energy healing, and principles of spirituality and mysticism in her work. Her website is lisaespinoza.net, so you can read more about her there. She's presenting a workshop, Priestess Rise Up. So welcome, Lisa.
Hello, thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
Yes. Okay, so we'll just start off with this wonderful question of how did you become a modern day priestess and spiritual leader coach?
Well, I didn't set out to be that. As many times with the priestess path, it was really, I was definitely called to the spiritual path. I was called to the wisdom teachings about divine feminine leadership. The word priestess wasn't something that I really was drawn to in the beginning. I certainly had heard it. I think I was probably intimidated by it. But it was in a meditation as I was going through some really challenging things with my older daughter. She was just facing an illness. There was a lot of stress. And as I was meditating actually with Kali Ma, you know, just I had the Kali Ma statue, you know, that fierce mother energy. And as I was just kind of there being with all of my feelings, that word priestess just kind of landed in me. And it was In the book that I'm writing, I say that it was both like as soft as a feather and as powerful as a lightning bolt. That's how it felt. It was like, oh, and then it was also like this, what is this? And so that started the journey of really connecting with that word and understanding that that was part of my calling. And as far as a spiritual leadership coach, so I coach women in their career, and these are women who are wellness professionals or spiritual teachers. And what I've been doing this work now for 10 years. And what I came to understand is that I was really coaching leaders, even if they didn't use that word, because there's so much baggage around the word leadership that has to be unpacked, that it really was like, oh, these are women. I do have some male clients, but mostly women who are here to lead, to be way showers, to be beacons of light, they're wisdom keepers. So I realized like, that's what I'm doing. So then you kind of have to come up with a label. So those were the labels, but I'm always refining how I describe what I do, but that's how it came about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love the topic spiritual leadership and the divine feminine leadership. I mean, yeah, I've been involved with that for what woman wisdom is about. So
yes.
So how do you define the word priestess? And like I said, it can have a connotation about it that might tweak people.
Yes.
Oh, that's a goddessy thing or right. You know, just,
absolutely. Yes. And I think that was my hesitation. Well, that's why, you know, when I finally kind of accepted that, I was like, well, I don't have to tell anyone else that. I could just keep that inside. I don't need to share it. I could still go about my work and not have to talk about the word priestess. But it kept coming. And for me, it was unpacking. It was actually, you know, something really interesting is to just sit with our feelings around that word priestess, you know, what comes up for us. And for some women, it's very like, oh, I love that word. It's goddessy. It's feminine. And for others, it's like, oh my gosh, it's too much. You know, I share like my daughters used to say like, it's so extra about things. And I was like, oh, they would totally say the word priestess is so extra, right? Like it's too much. So, and then not to mention, I was raised Catholic. There are no priestesses in the Catholic church, you know, in the Catholic religion. So the thought of like my parents even seeing a title of a book I wrote that had the word priestess in it was just seemed awful. But as I kept praying and I kept being led to this, what I asked that question, well, what do you mean? Because there's so many signatures, there's so many paths to the priestess path. And for me, what really came about was, you know, this is the path, my signature, what I'm talking about is leading through unconditional love. That's what this was about. Now, you don't have to call yourself a priestess. You don't have to dress differently. You don't have to get a new name unless you want to do those things. That is fine. For me, it felt authentic to add modern day priestess to my bio. But it's really not about that. It's about committing to this path of, you know, I'm here to channel unconditional love, both to myself, which is actually the hardest part, and to the world, because that's what the world needs. So that's how I define it.
And then you take that and work on the priestess leadership path. And so you say you're working with a lot of spiritual leaders. Or, mm-hmm. and I agree with you, like people, they don't like to be called a leader. They don't think of themselves as a leader. And I used to say in workshops, well, we're all leaders of our own life. So regardless, you're a leader.
Yes.
You don't like to lead. So why is that so important now in these times?
Well, I think, you know, the whole, so I when I presented last year, Women of Wisdom, the working title of my book was Birthing the Priestess Within. And then a few months ago, as I was really just had going through a lot of things that was clarifying my mission for myself, that it was what I heard was like, oh, we've birthed the priestess within. It's really a rising up of the priestess path. Again, not to be attached to that label, you might use healer or wise woman, whatever it is, medicine woman, but it is about stepping forward and being seen and being heard. Now, everybody, I say this to my clients and students all the time, everybody's leadership looks differently. It doesn't have to be in front of a camera. It might be, but it does involve in some way your voice, your message being heard, being seen. And leadership right now, this type of leadership that's led by women who are committed to their own inner healing journey, that are committed to being in integrity, that's what's absolutely needed in the world right now. We have, I think, another reason that we shy away from the word leader is because we've seen leaders abuse their power, right? We've seen so many leaders that are out of integrity, that, you know, all of those things. So we're almost like, ew, I don't want to be associated with that. And yet, if we turn away from leadership, who's going to be left to lead? You know, we are all called to lead. And it isn't about one savioress that's going to be the head leader. It's all of us co-creating, birthing this new earth. So I feel it's an essential thing. It's not a luxury anymore. It's kind of like, yeah, we need to step up to that, to be seen, to be on that stage, whatever it is for us.
Right. And you're saying, you know, like with other people. So there's this collaboration model in the feminine model. And also it's not being means you're a leader out there. It doesn't mean you have to be a leader in a big way. You can be a leader in a committee. You can be a leader, maybe a leader with a couple of people in your church or in an organization, or, you know, it doesn't mean that you have to be out there in the front all the time and having that, which can be stressful, but
absolutely.
It's all about finding your voice. Like you said, it's about, you know, we need more women to step up and share their integrity, their purpose, their gifts. I mean, and that's what we do at Women Wisdom, where people can explore what their gifts are. So, and some of these people, I imagine that you work with, are very, very highly sensitive, and especially sensitive to move into a leadership model. So how can they, and so there's a lot of overwhelm in that, you know, being out there in the world and being bombarded with all the energies out there.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Absolutely. And first of all, I'm a highly sensitive person, right? I'm so sensitive. And so of course my clients and students that are drawn to my work are also very sensitive. And I used to shy away from that word. I didn't consider myself a leader. And I realized that part of that for me and for my clients, as you said, because they're so highly sensitive, because they feel, you know, they feel so much that there's this, both this great longing to help, right? Because it's a beautiful thing to be able to feel compassion and to feel, oh my gosh, the world needs so much. So there's this prayer to be of, to heal, to support, to help. And at the same time, there's this awareness of, I feel like I have no skin. I can just feel like so overwhelmed, or like I can, like I'll drown in that, like I'll lose myself. So part of this path absolutely has to be this understanding that self-care, and that's not even the appropriate word. I feel like that is not even really explaining what I mean, but this responsibility that we have to care for ourselves, right? To make sure that we're tending to our physical body, our energy body, our relationships, all of those things that need to be set in place, doing our inner child work, all of that, so that we can discern what are the yeses for us and what are the no's. It doesn't mean that we, oh, I'm a leader, I have to say yes to everything and I must forget myself. That's the old paradigm that so many of us got, frankly, burnt out of, you know? So I find that a lot of my clients, they've already had careers where they've done a lot. So they're kind of like, I totally feel like I'm supposed to lead and do more, but I don't want to go back to that like lifestyle of just constant work. And so it is this new paradigm that it's not either or. It's not either I help the world, but I completely deplete myself, or I take care of myself and then I'm just like disconnected from everything, right? So that's really what it's about, is understanding like, no, we can do both, but it's absolutely a practice and it's absolutely something we have to learn.
Mm-hmm. And what you're talking about is boundaries too, creating those boundaries for yourself. But I can totally relate, because at my age, you know, when I started Women of Wisdom, mm-hmm. I guess I was in my early 40s, I had all the energy to do that. And now 30 years later, it's like, well, if I want to do something new, I'm not going to do it the same way. I'm not going to work so hard that, you know, I want to do it with ease and naturally and let that happen. And I think that's really possible. It's just really keeping that focus of what's the most important thing for you and how can you do that with ease, and still be there present, being present for yourself first and then for others. And well, you did mention inner child wounds, and that's probably a very important thing, and especially for leaders, to being out there to heal those wounds, because they'll be in your face.
Oh my gosh. Yes. In fact, I did a whole series last year called something like Healing Your Inner Teenager, so you can step into leadership or something like that, because it was so, I've done a lot of inner child work, me personally and with my clients, absolutely. And realizing that, yeah, as soon as we say yes, right? As soon as we say yes to the invitation of like, okay, I'm going to step into more leadership, our inner child has lots of opinions about that, right? Has a lot of fears, has a lot of, you know, maybe even trauma, like, wait, you're going to be seen more, you're going to be heard more. So all of these come up, and we absolutely, that's what makes this, that's why divine feminine leadership, priestess leadership, whatever we want to call it, is so powerful. Because I really believe that when we have an ongoing practice of tending to our inner children, because it's children, right? It's not just one inner child, we have multiple children inside of us. When we do that, it keeps us in integrity. It keeps us in this place of, first of all, knowing what our needs are, right? Knowing, like you said, setting boundaries, but also our inner child keeps us honest, right? Like he can really help us tap into our creativity, help us tap into our inner gifts, help us tap into places that perhaps we've been afraid to look at. But when we do, and sometimes we need to do that with support, and that's totally fine, that we can show up and be even more of a healing presence for others. So for me, inner child healing, it's just essential. It's like non-negotiable as we step forward in the leadership path, and it ensures that we stay in integrity as we lead, which is what the world needs.
Mm-hmm. And being able to see when things come up and you make mistakes, we all make mistakes.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, what's going on here? What age am I feeling right now? And go back to that. Exactly. I'm 13 and I'm feeling really embarrassed or something, you know, whatever it is. Yeah. Going back to that original wound to see where it's coming from, because then you can actually do something about it going forward. If you just ignore it, it's just going to keep popping up and being in place.
It will.
I think we both know that one.
The inner child will either, we can intentionally have a practice where we connect with our inner child, or she, y'all just use the pronoun she, we'll find a way to get our attention. Absolutely. And I love that you brought up about, you know, when we make mistakes, which we absolutely will, make mistakes on this path of leadership. That's just how we learn. That's what happens. And yeah, if we have been shamed or wounded growing up for, and, you know, if we've developed this thing of like perfectionism, like I have to be perfect. I have to, like, if I make a mistake, I won't be loved. I'll be rejected. Like, all of that really limits our ability to put ourselves out there, however that looks like for each of us. And absolutely, that's why I did the whole series on our inner teenager, because our inner teenager has a lot of gifts for us, but also often a lot of wounds that needs tending to. So for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, that's great that you're doing this work, and it's so needed. I mean, I think a lot of us in any kind of leadership role, it's good to have a coach or someone like yourself to bounce off, you know, what you're feeling and what you're going through and all that. Yeah. So another aspect of what you work with is the oracular gifts and why they're important for the healing. So explain what those are for our audience. If they don't know.
Yeah. So oracular gifts, and, you know, if you've ever used, you know, there's oracular tools, right? Like oracle cards. Some people use pendulums. There's nature sounds. There's all of these ways that humans have used to discern messages from the divine, right? That, oh, like this is, it's not just my intellect. Like we, in fact, not only is not just my intellect, many times our intellect gets in the way, right, of us really tuning into what our divine's guidance is. So when we start to step on this path of this priestess leadership path or this wise woman path, we start to understand that, oh, we have oracular gifts. That's part of our divine inheritance, that we're able to tap into divine wisdom and access creative solutions that are meant to be shared with others. And like we said before, it doesn't mean you're going to go on stage and present it to a whole bunch of people. Maybe that totally could be it. It might just be that it's something that you share with a friend, or like you said, your community, your church, or people you're guided to share it with. But it is this understanding that we can have a direct line to the divine, that we don't need an intermediary, like a lot of religions have kind of created that we need to have a certain whatever to be able to access that we all do. And that it's such a needed gift. The divine will speak through me in a different way that it will speak through you. And it's all beautiful. It's all part of the tapestry of the healing of the messages that are here for the world. And so the workshop I'll be doing this year at the conference, part of that will be talking about oracular gifts and how do we, you know, a lot of times we have a lot of baggage or wounds or burdens around, like, no, I don't have those, or no, I don't know how to access them, or even feeling guilty or bad, like we're not supposed to. So we'll unpack that a little bit so that you can really open up to, I really feel it's divine technology, and it's our birthright, everybody's. So that's what I mean.
And it can be as simple as intuition.
Absolutely.
We all have that. And mm-hmm. getting in touch how we see, because everybody sees differently. And so some people, when you think, oh, clairvoyant, I don't see things. Mm-hmm. Well, but you might be a person that senses things. And that's
exactly
the way you, or you hear it, or you see messages in writing, or all sorts of different ways that we get our information. And so part of that is learning how you get that information. And then,
absolutely.
And then trusting it.
That's the whole other thing, right? Like, yeah, because it's, I'm so glad you said that, because I think there is a lot of kind of misconceptions, like, oh, if you're intuitive, it means, yeah, you see things, right? Like you see people's auras and you see angels, right. And not to dismiss that, that's a powerful part of it, but there's so much, like you said, clairsentience, feeling, there's claircognizance, you know, thinking, there's so many ways to access our intuition. But then of course, the other half of that is trusting it. And I think that's where the place, so many times I'll have clients come to me, like I have feeling stuck around a certain thing. And really when you create the space for, like, well, what have you been sensing? What have you been hearing? And it's kind of like, oh, they do have guidance. They have been hearing, they have been intuiting the guidance for themselves, but there's so much, you know, that's the area of the divine feminine, and the divine feminine has been dismissed for so long, right? It has not only, I mean, dismissed is to put it mildly, has been really, we're sorting through a lot of wounds that have said that is not an authentic way to get information, right? Like we've been taught that, we've been programmed that way, even as we we realize, no, that isn't true. Intuition is such an important part of how I get information. We still carry all of that programming with us. So yeah, it's absolutely important to practice then trusting it and learning how does the divine speak to me? It'll be different than to others, and that's perfect and how it's meant to be.
Right. And our gifts are important in that everyone relates to different people in a different way. And so your way of expressing it through whatever comes up, your intuitive way, sharing it is a gift for other people, because it's just like I say, okay, I wrote a book on divine feminine. It relates about woman wisdom, but it relates to the divine feminine. There's so many books out there that people write. And so why my book? Well, my book will speak to some these people, and another person's book will speak to these people. And so there's a place for all of our voices. And you will reach the people that you are meant to reach that resonate with what your voice is. And so we can so discount our voice of like, oh, no one's gonna be interested in mine. That one's so much better. We do so much comparison.
Oh my gosh, that's so true. Because I think that's the beautiful thing about divine feminine leadership. It's co-creative, right? It's understanding that it isn't like a hierarchy, like, oh, you're the expert and we're all gonna follow you. Like I love that you brought up that example about the book, because I felt the same way when I wrote my first book. I was like, there are so many books about following your soul's calling. There are like so many. And it seemed that as I was writing them, more and more were written. And so I would have that same question, but it was of like, why does it matter that I complete mine? But as you said, we all have, you know, what I call your unique soul's medicine, right? It's like you have a medicine that nobody else has. And some people absolutely need that medicine, right? And they will be drawn to you. You will find them. They will find you. It's a beautiful thing. And so, yeah, the world misses out when we don't allow ourselves to express it. You know, when we fall into that whole like comparison trap, that can really sabotage us for sure.
Yeah, I love that. The world misses out. And that's a good good thing for people to remember when they're wanting to do what they think is their calling, and then feeling shy, like, why would anybody be interested? Well, the world will miss out.
Absolutely.
On what is unique about you. So how will your workshop, I'm asking everybody this, fitting with the theme, celebrating the sacred pearls, nourishing the divine feminine?
Well, you know, I love that, the sacred pearls, right? That's such a beautiful, beautiful name. And so what I think about with that is, you know, how pearls are created, right? They're created through, they're so beautiful, they're so unique, and they're created through the grit, right? Through the grit and through the little bit of the struggle, right? So in this workshop, I'm going to really be inviting women to connect with their story, connect with their pearls of wisdom, to acknowledge that they are leaders, that they are already leading. It isn't about like, oh, you're going to take my workshop and now you're a leader. It's like, no, you are a leader already, but leading you within through journaling, through mantra, through meditation, through some movement, to first of all, accept your own pearls, that you are a pearl, that you have these pearls of wisdom, and that you have them to share with others. And so, yeah, I'm very excited to really facilitate this creative, co-create this sacred space with other women, so that they can go out there and lead with more joy and ease, and yeah, that the world gets to benefit from their gifts.
Well, I know last year it was a very popular workshop, and it'll be just as good this year. So everybody check it out at the womanofwisdom.org website. And Lisa, give your website for people to find you.
Yes, my website is Lisa Espinosa. So that's LISAESPINOSA.net. And so on there, you can read all about what I do. There's a lot of free resources. And if you go to the Start Here tab, there's information on how to schedule a free session with me if you'd like to do that.
Okay, great. Well, nice to have you on the show today. And I'm still interviewing a lot more people. So everybody stay tuned. It gets posted on our website, gets posted on Facebook. And so look forward to seeing you in March.
Thank you so much, Chris. Me too. Bye-bye.